From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, January 14th, 2016, we've got a great show in store for all of you out there. We will chat about the situation out at Charlotte High School concerning former basketball coach Steve Ernst that has really shook the community, so much so that public forums have been held, and there's a lot of support backing Ernst. Many people calling for Ernst to be hired back with that basketball team. We will break down the timeline of events that has led Charlotte to this point, crucial point in time, and whether or not Steve Ernst will come back to the squad. Very interesting situation there. We will also chat about the St. Louis Rams becoming the Los Angeles Rams very, very soon. We'll give you a preview of tonight's Current Sports TV chat with now retired Detroit Free Press sports photographer Julian Gonzalez. It was a great one, folks. You don't want to miss it. And we'll also have Throwback Thursday for you and so much more. Our phone lines are open 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this Thursday, January 14th. All right, the Michigan State men's basketball team, they will face Iowa tonight for the second time in the first 3 weeks of the Big Ten schedule. How about that? The Spartans are coming off a 27-point win at Penn State, marking just the second game this season in which all 13 scholarship players played. Iowa is just one of two undefeated teams in Big Ten play, having beaten the Spartans in the conference opener in Iowa City. Denzel Valentine, who came back for his first game against Penn State this past weekend after having that arthroscopic knee surgery, he is expected to start tonight. Tip time is set for 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Tyra Buss scored 24 points. Amanda Cahill and Carly McBride added 17 each, and Indiana rolled to an 81-65 win over number 18 Michigan State on Wednesday night. The trio combined for the first 13 points of the game as the Hoosiers shot 52% and converted 14 Michigan State turnovers to 27 points in the first half for a 39-25 lead. McBride had 13 points. Jasmine Hines had 24 points and Ariel Powers 14 for MSU. The team is back in action Saturday afternoon when they host Iowa at the Brez. Michigan defensive tackle Willie Henry is forgoing his senior year. He announced that on Twitter last night. In his extended statement, Henry wrote, quote, "My time as a student athlete has come to an end. I have decided to continue my football career in a more professional direction. This decision wasn't easy. My family and I thought this was the right time and choice for me." The 6'3", 311-pound tackle from Cleveland, Ohio, Glenville, even thanked former U of M coach Brady Hoke. Maryland cornerback Sir Patrick Scott, he announced on Twitter that he has decommitted from U of M. The three-star corner from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, committed to Michigan in August, and though he was in a Big Ten state, was a surprise being outside of U of M's usual recruiting area. The Wolverines now have 23 commitments. They still have three defensive backs in the class and are recruiting a few other high-level targets. All right, folks, the controversy surrounding the resignation of Steve Ernst from the Charlotte boys basketball team has prompted a school official to resign, and Charlotte's Board of Education has set a special meeting for later today. School Board President Shane Gossner confirmed this morning that he resigned Wednesday, citing threats made against board members. Quote, "Due to the comments made by some community members, I feared for the welfare and safety of my children. I'm taking my family, and I'm taking myself out of this. We will have more on that story in just a second. After falling to the San Antonio Spurs at home on Tuesday, the Detroit Pistons look to rebound tonight when they hit the road to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. The final 2 minutes did the Pistons in when Memphis visited the Palace on December 9th, though missing their last five shots after going up 92-87 with 1:48 left. Shouldn't have mattered. But thanks to Matt Barnes' half-court heave with 1 second left, Detroit was left with a stunning 93-92 loss that Reggie Jackson called the team's toughest of the year. Tip-off tonight is set for 8 p.m. Steph Curry, he scored 20 of his 38 points in the final period but lost the ball under defensive pressure from Danilo Gallinari in the game's final moments, and the Denver Nuggets hung on to hand the Golden State Warriors their third loss of the year. 112-110, the final of that one last night. The defending NBA champion Warriors, they sit at 36-3. They had won seven straight since their previous defeat, 114-91 at Dallas on December 30th. And last but not least, the Detroit Red Wings, they will hit the ice tonight on the road to take on the Arizona Coyotes. The Wings are trying to bounce back from a road loss to the LA Kings on Monday. Darren Helm had a goal and an assist to help the Red Wings to a 5-1 win against Arizona at the Joe on December 3rd. Pavel Datsyuk, he had two assists, and Jimmy Howard made 26 saves. Jordan Martinuk, he scored for Arizona. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, folks. It's a stacked one. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's start the show.
These things, I don't know all the words to, so at least not for now. But don't worry about that. I just want to give you an idea. I'll have the words when you get the music. All right? Okay. But I'll hum something so you'll understand. Okay? Okay.
Thank you so much, Ray Charles, the great Ray Charles. Man, you know, I really didn't start listening to Ray until I saw that film. Jamie Foxx, you guys remember Jamie Foxx, coveted actor. I mean, just so multi-talented. I mean, he's an artist, he can sing. I mean, he can act, he's a comedian. But I remember Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles, a movie in which he won an Oscar for. And hearing Ray Charles' music, this song, you know, What I'd Say, that that was featured in the movie, and I instantly became a Ray Charles fan. I started going in his archives and downloading a lot of his music. Man, was he great or what? And speaking of the Oscars, you know, there's a lot of controversy right now. I looked at my Facebook page literally like 5 minutes before we took the air, and everyone is talking about the Oscars. And the nominees, I guess they just came out this morning, and the Oscar nominees this year include zero non-white actors. Very surprising stuff. There are a lot of people weighing in on social media and saying, how in the world did Straight Outta Compton not get nominated for an Oscar? How in the world did Will Smith, who played Dr. Bennett Amalu, the doctor who discovered chronic traumatic encephalopathy and the damage that disease does to football players when it comes to concussions, the movie Concussion, and that, the movie didn't even get nominated for an Oscar. And I saw it. It was an unbelievable movie. And how about Creed? You know, Sylvester Stallone, he went up and of course, won a Golden Globe this past weekend. But Ryan Coogler, the outstanding director who also directed Fruitvale Station, a great, great movie. Michael B. Jordan, who played Adonis Creed in the movie, he didn't even get nominated for an Oscar. Again, zero non-white actors nominated. For the second year in a row, the Academy did not nominate any black actors of any of the 20 slots in the four acting categories. Wow, that's surprising stuff. So Twitter's blowing up. CNN has it on their page. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a huge story as the day rolls along. And other than Ray Charles, what you heard in that montage, of course, was Steph Curry last night. How good was Steph Curry last night? He scored 20 of his 38 points in the final period. But great defense from Danilo Gallinari in the game's final moments. And the Denver Nuggets now hand the Golden State Warriors just their third loss of the season. 112-110 on Wednesday night. Again, they're 36-3 right now, the Warriors are. And they hadn't won seven straight since their previous defeat. Impressive stuff, nonetheless. I mean, they're still right now on pace to possibly, you know, break that coveted 72-10 record that Michael Jordan and the Bulls had in the 90s, the best record in NBA history. Unbelievable stuff, right? They're still on pace to do that. They didn't have Draymond Green last night, which didn't help. But still a great effort nonetheless from this team. Steph Curry, 20 of his 38 in the final period. That's crazy. And you know what? I also saw something interesting yesterday because ESPN out of nowhere, I don't know why they started doing this, but they have slowly, you know, like by the day, been putting out their all-time NBA rankings by position. And they came out with their shooting guard list yesterday. Of course, Michael Jordan, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He topped that list. No surprise there. But, you know, it's not that one that's garnering a lot of discussion. It's actually the point guard category that's garnering a ton of discussion, which is the position that they started with this whole ranking. And Magic Johnson, he tops the list of the greatest point guards, according to ESPN, of all time. And, you know, just to read the list really briefly here. All right, so you have Magic at number one. At number two, you have Oscar Robertson, who was unbelievable when he played, right? Number three, John Stockton. At number four, Steph Curry. Five, Isaiah Thomas. We'll get back to number four and five in just a sec, just to round out the top ten. Six, Chris Paul. Seven, Steve Nash. Eight, Jason Kidd. Nine, Walt Frazier. And 10, Bob Cousy. Now, going back to that four and five spot, again, you have Steph Curry already, according to ESPN, the number four greatest point guard of all time. And then you have Isaiah and back of him. That, I had a problem with that. I got to be honest with you guys. When I saw that list and saw that Steph Curry was listed over Zeke, I said to myself, really? I mean, what are you guys looking at? I mean, what are the criteria? Magic Johnson, of course, MSU great, who, again, it's no. I think they got it right there. I mean, Magic, in my opinion, and I think the popular opinion is that Magic is the greatest point guard of all time. Now, the problem that I have with Steph Curry being ranked over Isaiah Thomas is that Steph Curry still has years left in his NBA career. I think it's a bit premature to say right now that Steph Curry is the fourth greatest point guard in NBA history, especially over Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Isaiah Thomas was unbelievable. Finals MVP. You know, a lot of people forget. I mean, looking at that championship run that Golden State had last year, don't get me wrong, Steph Curry had a remarkable season, remarkable year. But he went a bit silent in the NBA Finals, folks. I mean, he wasn't the NBA Finals MVP. You know, despite how he's playing right now and despite the crazy numbers he's putting up, if you remember, Andre Iguodala was the NBA Finals MVP last year. They played great. Cleveland played great defense on Steph Curry throughout that series. But we're talking about Isaiah Thomas. I mean, looking at Zeke's honors, Finals MVP, 12-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA selection. He's a Hall of Famer. He won not one but two championships. I mean, you look at, you know, Steph Curry right now. He won an MVP last year, 2-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA selection. You stack that up compared to Isaiah Thomas's resume, it's still just scratching the surface. So I don't know. I think maybe they put out the ranking to spark discussion, like right now on Current Sports, like how I'm leading my show right now. So I don't know. I don't even think a lot of the pundits at ESPN believe that Steph Curry right now deserves that number 4 ranking. He doesn't. Simple as that. He definitely doesn't. Who knows, though? I mean, Steph Curry, if he consistently puts up the numbers that he's putting up right now and wins the NBA Finals MVP, adds a few more championships, at least one more to that resume, definitely. You could probably put Steph Curry in that discussion as his career rolls along. But right now, in January of 2016, Steph Curry, the 4th greatest point guard of all time? Nah. Come on, chill. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to get to this Steve Ernst story in just a second. I know you're a big NBA guy, Isaac. I know you're chomping at the bit to weigh in on this subject really briefly. Steph Curry, number 4.
Oh, you saw me behind the glass.
What?
I had my hands on my head. I was biting my lip so I didn't burst in a fit of rage. How is he number 4? How is he in the top 5? How is he better than Steve Nash, than Jason Kidd?
Exactly.
This is ridiculous that he, I mean, you can make a debate that he's not even in the top 10 yet.
You can
make a debate that
definitely
Russell Westbrook has done more so to deserve that place.
And
than
Chris
Steph Curry.
Paul?
Chris Paul,
what?
Number 6? Come on. No, Steve Nash is the only other point guard in NBA history to win 2 straight MVPs. Then you've got Bob Cousy, the man who invented the modern-day position at number 10. This ranking is ridiculous. Like you said, it was obviously created to spark some controversy, but come on. I mean, I know it's your job to get reads and everything like that, but at least do it in a way where I don't think you're a total idiot after I read it. This is so bad of a rankings. You read the resume for Steph Curry. 2-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
2 times.
Right.
And he's better than Isaiah Thomas, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash,
right,
Bob Cousy. Are you kidding me? Walt Frazier. I mean, even Chris Paul. He should be behind Chris Paul. But Chris Paul shouldn't be number 6 in the first place.
No, they both shouldn't be on this list. I think you and I both agree on this. And it's so comical when I read it. I'm like, okay, this is going to spark up a lot of discussion. And, again, Magic Johnson weighed on this on his Twitter page once he found out the news. Just to read the tweets that Magic had to say about this ESPN ranking. Here's the first tweet. Quote, ESPN ranked the top 10 point guards of all time, and they have Isaiah Thomas ranked 5th. There is no way Stockton and Curry are better than Isaiah. Then he goes on to say, quote, let me remind everyone, young and old, I played against Isaiah Thomas when he was hurt and hobbling on one leg. We all know about that famed playoff game, right? Unbelievable stuff. And then he goes on to say, quote, and Isaiah Thomas still scored 25 points in 1 quarter in the NBA Finals. So, yeah.
It's not like Isaiah and Magic have been friends throughout their career either.
Oh, yeah.
That's just mutual respect. That's
right.
An acknowledgement of greatness. Of course Isaiah should be higher than, I mean, I think Isaiah should be higher than Stockton as well, but at least you can make that debate that Stockton's higher.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you put Curry after 3 great seasons over Isaiah Thomas, that's heresy, my friend.
That's just people living in the hype right now. I mean, you can't turn on your television without seeing Steph Curry pubbing Under Armour with Jamie Foxx. You can't turn on, you flip the channel and you see him, you know. I even saw, it's so crazy now, they're actually going back and looking at old commercials when Steph was a little kid with his dad. Have you seen the Burger King commercial with Dale Curry and Steph Curry when he was a little tyke?
I might have to look that up now.
You got to Google it. It's so great, man. You see Steph, this little kid. Oh, it's a cute commercial, man. And then you can't turn on Entertainment Tonight without seeing something about Ayesha Curry, who's his beautiful wife, and Riley Curry. I mean, every time you turn on television, Steph Curry is there, talked about in some way, shape, form, or capacity. So everyone's just kind of living in the hype, including, of course, the analyst at ESPN. So I just had to get that off my chest. Folks, the phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, folks, let's dive into it. Because this is a story that is locally, talk about dominating the headlines, especially in the sports realm of things, this story is. It concerns Charlotte, now former Charlotte, boys basketball coach, Steve Ernst. Now, before you get my thoughts and opinions on this, and again, I want to get yours, 517-355-9527, I want to kind of go through the timeline of events that have really sparked up just outcry from many individuals. So beginning of this week, it was reported that Charlotte High School's varsity basketball coach, Steve Ernst, had resigned amid controversy over technical fouls he received on the court. Now, I'm reading an article directly from the Lansing State Journal. Rachel Greco, she put this article together. She goes on to say, quote, Ernst, who graduated from Charlotte in 1986 and was hired as the team's head coach in October of 2014, he quit this Monday. Now, the news comes less than 1 week after Ernst received his sixth technical foul in 30 games on January 5th during a game against Eden Rapids. Ernst led Charlotte's varsity team to a district championship last year. He has strong support in the community. Monday morning, he told the Lansing State Journal that school administrators have taken issue with the number of technical fouls he's received since taking the coaching position. Here's a direct quote from Ernst. Quote, on Wednesday, I was forced to sign a new IDP, individual development plan, and I received my first technical of the year. I haven't had one in 19 games. The IDP was Ernst's second with the district. He signed the first last school year. The document was aimed at discouraging him from incurring technical fouls, he said. Ernst called his style of coaching animated, and sometimes technical fouls are simply a part of the game. Quote, I certainly believe there's a time and a place for a technical foul. It's not a pleasant experience ever, but there is a time to let your players know that you're fighting for them. So after that was reported, there's been a lot of outcry from the community. Now, here's a story, again, from the Lansing State Journal, published yesterday from Rachel Greco. Quote, bring Ernst back. The community... that community rallying cry has gotten louder in Charlotte over the past few days, but Ernst and Charlotte Public Schools officials have been silent about the high school's basketball coach's future. Ernst, who graduated from Charlotte, blah, 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 in 1986, he resigned due to technical fouls. Charlotte Board of Education member Eric Emery said Ernst met with district officials on Tuesday evening, but he said he didn't know the outcome of the meeting. He said he didn't know if members of the school board's human resource subcommittee, including current board members Mike Bruce, Julie Kimmer, and Gary King, will discuss Ernst's resignation. Charlotte Superintendent Mark Rosenkranz, Athletic Director Dan Stafford, and Board of Education President Shane Gossner have not returned messages left by the State Journal. I see this story today. So he resigns on Monday. The community says, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? They start putting pressure on the board. Outcry from the board. Ernst meets with district officials during Tuesday evening. Didn't know the outcome of the meeting. Nothing is reported from there. No comment made. Everyone's reaching out to Steve Ernst and the board. No comment made. And players, I saw, this was reported yesterday, players on the team, the Charlotte boys basketball team, actually practiced without a coach. And they do want Steve Ernst back, according to reports. They want him back. I saw footage on Channel 6 News last night. There was a board, like a public forum concerning the matter. And then today I see it's reported that right now the school board president Shane Gossner, confirmed this morning that he had resigned yesterday, citing threats made against the board members. Again, well, you know, to read this quote that we had in our Quicken Headliners, quote, due to the comments made by some community members, I feared for the welfare and safety of my children. I'm taking my family and I'm taking myself out of this. Wow. This story is, there's so many angles to it. As I like to say, there's so many layers to it. One being, you know, first off, this situation comes, you know, it was sparked by the resignation of Steve Ernst due to technical fouls. A technical foul that he received actually last week. And this is just my opinion on the matter. I was quite surprised. And again, when evaluating this, again, January 6th, last week, Tuesday, January 5th is when he received the technical foul in a game against Eden Rapids. January 6th is when he said he was forced to sign an individual development plan after he received that first technical of the year. He hadn't gotten one, folks, in 19 games. In 19 games, he hadn't gotten one. I don't believe that the board understands the ebb and flow of a basketball game, if you ask me. Sometimes receiving a technical foul does not mean that you have bad character. Heck, how many times have we been watching the game of basketball and seen a player, or a coach for that matter, receive a technical foul for pretty much nothing? I mean, sometimes I've seen players during games get technical fouls for looking at the referee wrong, not even saying one word. There have been multiple times throughout a game during my 25 years on this earth when I've been watching basketball and a player or a coach has received a technical foul for pretty much nothing. I think maybe that the Charlotte, you know, school board, they want to make sure that their employees, they don't go against the grind of anything. They want to make sure that everything is goody-two-shoes and that no mistakes are made and that there's no outlandish behavior taking place at an athletic event. But technical fouls are a part of the game. They are a part of basketball. And I think Steve Ernst had a great quote when looking at this article in the Lansing State Journal. When he said, quote, I certainly believe there is a time and a place for a technical foul. It's not a pleasant experience ever, but there is a time to let your players know that you're fighting for them. Sometimes a call goes against your team and you want to stand up for your team and say, hey, I don't agree with how the game is being called right now. It shouldn't go down that way. And some referees, they take it personal and decide to tee you up for it. How many times have we been watching a Michigan State basketball game and seen Tom Izzo do that very same thing? Fighting for his team, fighting for a certain call in the referee's ear, and he gets teed up. It happens. It's basketball. This was his first technical in 19 games, folks. It's not like Steve Ernst is going out there and getting a technical foul every single time he's out there on the sidelines. Now, again, looking at this situation, I thought the school board totally overreacted, forced him to sign an individual development plan, and he said, you know what, this is too much. This is way too much. You're really tying my hands. I can't do my job. So you know what, I'm going to resign. I'm done. I think he reached a boiling point, you know, where he just said, even though, I mean, he was turning around this program, they won a district title last year, I think Steve Ernst reached a point where, like, you know what, I don't need this in my life. I can go somewhere else and coach. Because this is absolutely ridiculous. This is this unwarranted pressure that I'm receiving. And he decided to say deuces. And what I think speaks volumes, other than a technical foul, I don't think a technical foul speaks volumes to the character of an individual, but what I do think speaks to the character of an individual is those who are in support of you. Those who have your back. And you know what? The community of Charlotte seems to have the back of Steve Ernst. They rallied. There was a public outcry saying, you know what, this is wrong. We love Steve as our coach, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to protest. We want a public forum. We want our voices heard on this matter. Even to the point where it got a little bit too personal. Overboard, if you will. The president, the school board president of Charlotte, resigning, saying, quote, due to the comments made by some community members, I feared for the welfare and safety of my children. It got that personal, folks. Now, of course, that's crossing the line. I don't know if they were death threats. Who knows what the messages that he received directly and toward his family were. That crosses the line without a doubt. Without a doubt. But the fact that the public feels this strongly about one man resigning, it shows that Steve Ernst, in my opinion, he may not be too bad of a guy. Sticky story. Isaac, what are your thoughts on this? Because I just think this is a clear example. And again, I hope this, I've been reaching out, us at Current Sports, we have been reaching out to the Charlotte community, to the Charlotte School Board, to Steve Ernst personally, and we have not received anything back yet. No comment. I haven't heard Steve Ernst go on any radio, any other radio show, or any other other television show to make any comments. Who knows? I'm going to keep trying and keep prying in this situation. But this is a story for me, Isaac, that just directly, it's just another example of just not understanding the situation. Not so, you know, individuals taking sports way too serious. Way too serious and not understanding the ebb and flow of how in the heat of a moment a sports game can get. They don't understand the situation. And then it just kind of spiraled out of control for that. It's really ugly right now.
It is.
Really ugly.
Well, there are a couple points that really initially crossed my mind when I saw this story. The first is one technical in 19 games is nothing. That is nothing. I mean, you can have the most calm, tranquil coach in the entire state of Michigan, and he might pick up one in 19 games. Like you said, technicals can be doled out for simply a stare at the ref, and we've seen that before, a la retiring ref Joey Crawford in the NBA. We've seen things like that, of that nature, before in sports. So one technical doesn't mean anything, especially one in 19 games. That's not even frequent. But it sounds like that the people upset about this are on the school board, which, not the parents. If you think that the coach, by getting and accruing all these technical fouls, is sending a bad message to your kids, to the kids on the team, then I'm okay with maybe an action like this. But when the community, when the people supporting the team come out in support of this coach saying, hey, he's trying his best to turn this team around. He has turned this team around. He's still doing the same thing. We want him as our basketball coach. Then you go with that. Because the only problem with a technical foul is if you think the coach is maybe a little bit overzealous and crosses the line when berating the official.
Yeah, if he's going off and yelling out profanities and that kind of thing.
That's a bad example for the kids. But that doesn't seem to be what happened whatsoever.
No.
Because the community still fully backs him. Now, on the other side of this, of course, the backlash from all this seems to be way too much, too. Nobody should have to resign because a coach was given an IDP. I mean, that is way too much, especially if you feel like it's a threat to your family and things like that. You've got to understand how to handle a situation like this. But at the same time, I mean, all of this stems from just, like you said, a lack of understanding, lack of being in the situation to know that Ernst didn't really do that much wrong, especially since it looks like I said, with 1 in 19, that's turning your behavior around in a positive direction, if that's what they took issue with. So the fact that he got fired over this, I'm not big on it.
Yeah, you know, and he decided to resign, you know, and you know, what this story kind of reminds me of, I remember a few years ago, actually when we first started Current Sports Radio, there was a story concerning Okemos High School football coach Jack Wallace and Ira Childress. He was just hired as the new Okemos High School athletic director. And I don't know how, you know, as far as the details go, I remember, you know, Jack Wallace kind of being forced out and being let go. And then once that happened, I mean, you saw the community come out and say, you know what? What is going on here? We want Jack Wallace as our coach. The kids wanted him back. And that's another key point in this whole thing. The Charlotte boys basketball team, they practiced yesterday by themselves with no other coach present. And really just kind of taking a stand, you know, to say, we want our coach back. We want Steve Ernst back. And anytime the kids want an individual back for in a situation that they feel was wronged in a certain way, I think that holds a ton of weight, possibly the most weight out of anyone in this whole situation, without a doubt.
And 18 hours ago, we saw WLNS report that they were considering a boycott of the team in wake of this.
Exactly.
I mean, if you've got the team support, the parent support, I don't really know how much more you can do.
And that's what we saw with the whole Jack Wallace situation. When Jack Wallace was, quote-unquote, forced out The community rallied together, and there was a lot, and you know, there's so many different angles to that story as well, because, you know, Ira, you know, were being reported that he was receiving pressure from the boosters at Okemos High School, and he made just a kind of a sporadic decision, and then the community rallies and says, whoa, hold on, why is Jack, you know, being let go? And he eventually, you know, came back, and he was hired back, you know, and Ira and the administration there to this day still say that they never fired him. And I remember Ira doing an interview during that moment, and he kept saying the system was flawed. The system is flawed. He kept mentioning that. And eventually, though, Jack Wallace came back, and everything was lollipops and rainbows. In this situation, though, I really think it's leaning toward with the pressure that the board is feeling right now, and with the public outcry, I do feel as though Steve Ernst may come back to this squad. I just hope it's not an awkward situation. That's the big thing. Because anytime you go through a situation like this, it can be pretty awkward. That, you know, because Steve Ernst, at the end of the day, he still has to deal with the board and be around those individuals. Oh, that, yeah. It can get really, really sticky. Folks, I'm curious to know what you think, especially from those who live out in Charlotte, who know directly firsthand, and maybe you have a son who plays on that team. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. If you're a bit shy, don't want to call in, again, you can leave me a comment on Facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's start first break. When we come back, we'll give you guys a preview, like we do each and every Thursday, of the night's Current Sports TV sit-down. And it's a good one, folks. Julian Gonzalez, now retired Detroit Free Press sports photographer. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Some breaking news here. Isaac, I'm curious, because I'm actually, you know, you just buzzed in my ear just a minute ago and said that Chip Kelly is expected to be the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Where'd you see that at?
I saw it at Bleacher Report. They just tweeted it out.
Bleacher Report just tweeted that out.
Source, yeah.
And right after you said that, I said that right now Tom Coughlin, he may be the Eagles head coach. But I'm seeing right here on ESPN.com that Tom Coughlin, he has dropped out of the Eagles race, according to sources. So, again, the Philadelphia Eagles, they will need to go in another direction to find their new coach, as Tom Coughlin has withdrawn his name from consideration. And it was said that the Eagles were zeroing in on, hiring Tom Coughlin, who was let go by the New York Giants, of course. And when it comes to the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo, one of the internal favorites to replace Tom Coughlin, is closing in on a deal to become the 17th coach of the New York Giants. So multiple sources are confirming that Wednesday night to ESPN. So interesting stuff there. All right, let's take a quick call before we give you guys a sneak peek of tonight's chat on Current Sports TV with Julian Gonzalez. Let's go to line one. We've got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, my man?
How you doing, my man? What's up, man?
How you doing, homie?
Happy. We're going to get a break from the weather, family, man. It's going to get in the 30s. How you like that?
Yeah, you know, today was the first day this week where I had to, you know, I didn't have to, like, clean off my car when I walked out to it. So, yeah, it's a lot warmer than it has been the past few days. And, again, like I said, 30s for much of the rest of the week. So I'm happy about that, Mike. I'm happy about that.
All right, then. I know I'm going to talk. I told Isaac before we talk about sports, you got to talk about pop culture stuff. And you know they had the Academy Awards nominations out. And they put Straight Outta Compton is nominated. And Rocky, Sylvester Stallone is nominated. Those are the two that come to my mind. So and they nominated Star Wars, which surprised me.
Well, I don't know if you heard my spiel at the very beginning of the show, because I saw the nominations. And, I guess when it comes to overall movies, Straight Outta Compton has been nominated, and Creed has been nominated. But individual actors, the Academy did not nominate any black actors to any of the 20 slots in the four acting categories. That's what's sparking up a lot of controversy. So I'm glad you brought that clarification to the forefront.
Oh, yeah, because I thought that Michael B. Jordan did a fantastic job. I thought he should have been nominated, to be honest with you, or Will Smith even, man.
Right, those are the two names. Yeah, those are the two names that came to my mind when I looked at, you know, how for the second year in a row, the Academy did not nominate any black actors of any of the 20 slots. So I was surprised about that, thought Will deserved one, and thought Michael certainly deserved one.
Oh, yeah, and I thought about the Star Wars, the science fiction-type movies and stuff, they always get nominated not for Best Picture, but they always get. Well, The Martian is like a science fiction movie. That got nominated, too, but I'm talking about Star Wars always getting nominated for Artistic Direction or Best Photography, something like that category.
Right,
and also
right.
The Hateful Eight got nominated for Best Music in a Movie or something, man, but I thought The Hateful Eight, It's not the kind of movie that we should be talking about that much. I thought it was an artistic movie. I really did.
Oh, that's Quentin Tarantino at his finest. I actually saw it, what was that, 2 weekends ago, I think? And Samuel L. Jackson, he was fantastic in that movie. I was surprised that he got nominated. Or even Idris Elba in Beast of No Nation. He was fantastic in that. So very surprising.
Okay, yeah.
Very surprising.
Oh, Jennifer Jason Leigh was pretty good in that movie, too. She was real good in
there.
Very
good.
She played
very
the role,
good.
Man.
Right.
All right, then. We got Pop. That's later for entertainment tonight. Let's talk about the game tonight.
Mike, we're going to hire you as our entertainment guru here on the show. How's that sound, huh?
Yeah, that sounds great, man.
My man. All right, proceed. What do you got anything on your sports
noggin? Yeah, I'm going to talk about the game. I got to talk about Anthony Clemens, man. Did Anthony Clemens, is all of a sudden in his senior year, thought he started, start being more direct with his play? What do you think about Anthony Clemens from Lance and Sexton over?
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be an interesting game tonight, first off. Anthony Clemens, I got a chance to cover him in high school when he, of course, played with Lansing Sexton, winning those back-to-back, you know, state championships under the tutelage of Carlton Valentine, playing with Denzel, playing with Bryn Forbes, and I really like his game. Really like Clemens' game. The only knock that I've always had on Clemens is that he's small, you know, he's 6'2", he could get better with his jump shot, but he's a savvy player. A very savvy player. It's going to be fun to watch those two tonight, my man.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, the way he played it in Iowa, man, it really just shocked me how Iowa really played as a team the last time they played them, even though Denzel was hurt. But it just surprised me how Iowa, maybe Fran McCaffrey, if he keeps his temper under control, maybe they'll be on the something there, you know.
Because
he has temper problems sometimes. You know how that goes, man.
Right, and looking at his stats right now, Mike, right now he's averaging about, 7 points? You know, he's hit 11 three-pointers on the year, shooting like 30% from the three-point line. So he's not making a lot of noise, but he's a relatively, you know, and he plays good defense. I will say that about Ant. I mean, but you know, he kind of just plays within his means, which is a good thing. You know, he knows his role on that team.
What about that walk-on Iowa guy that beat up on Michigan State? What's his name? That's not Uhoff. It's somebody else that beat that guy that it was a walk-on. He was 6'11". And he was really rebounding the ball, the walk-on.
Right. I have to look up the basketball roster, but I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Let me see here. I'm looking him up right now. Because I remember, it's so crazy. Isaac and I, we actually watched that Iowa game while we were in Texas covering the Cotton Bowl. And I had to stream it on my laptop because, of course, they didn't have it in the hotel we were looking at. I'm trying to figure out. Do you remember his name, Isaac?
Yeah, I'm trying to look. That wasn't Gazelle, was that?
Gazelle
went off against Michigan State.
Yeah, Mike Gazelle.
He was Gazelle? The point guard. I'm not
that
sure if he was
the one. Gazelle's scholarship. He's a guard.
Yeah, well.
I'm trying to figure out that scholarship player. He was 6 foot. He was non-scholarship player. They gave him scholarship. He was 6'11".
I don't know, Mike. I will have to look that one up for you.
All right, then, because how Kenny Goins coming along with his development? Is he still going to have to? Is this game going to be fleshed out a little more, or he's just going to be right now? He's just going to be a hustle and an energy guy.
He's a hustle and energy guy right now, Mike. I mean, Kenny Goins, you know, we've seen moments this year where he's come off that bench and provided a spark for this Michigan State team. playing great defense. You know, he can give you a lot inside. He's a solid defender. He's an energy guy. Yeah, he's a spark plug off of that bench. And you know, looking at Michigan State, they played, 13 players? All 13 of their scholarship players against Penn State. They're so deep. And that's the thing that I'm just worried about with Michigan State as the season moves on. Because roles are going to have to be more defined as the Big Ten year moves on. The big question right now is who plays the more efficient when Denzel Valentine is on the floor? Because we all know Denzel Valentine is the guy that stirs the drink for this Spartan squad, especially when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. He's got great court vision. Who produces when Denzel Valentine is out there on the floor? I think we've seen, of course, I mean, the glaring names that come to mind are guys like Matt Costello. Bryn Forbes has certainly shined. Yep. But when you look deeper into that bench, I mean, who can Michigan State rely on to come into the game and provide, you know, that energy? And that's the role that Kenny Goins knows that he's going to have to play.
Okay. And here's one more question, and I'll let you move it on. Did you watch Michigan play Maryland? Was you surprised by Duncan Robinson? What surprised you most, Duncan Robinson or Zach Irvin?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, not even Duncan Robinson, he was solid in that game. But for me, the big takeaway from that game, Mike, was the tandem of Derek Walton Jr. and Zach Irvin. Those two were huge, especially down the stretch of that game. You had a double-double from Derek Walton Jr. You know, he did a great job defensively on neutralizing, just an overall team effort on neutralizing Melo Trimble, who really struggled, only 2 points in that game. And Zach Irvin, though, I mean, my goodness, he couldn't miss. He was fantastic in that game. So more so, I mean, it was a great collective effort overall. But for me, the big takeaway was just the tandem of Walton and Irvin.
So, all right then, man. I was just thinking that Michigan doesn't have depth like Michigan State does. But it's just amazing to me how they compete the number one three-rated team in the nation like that, man.
Especially
just without Caris LeVert.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head, especially without Caris LeVert. Mike, great call. Appreciate it.
Great call. Appreciate it. Thank you, Al. Have a good one.
All right. You too. All right. Let's go to now, like we do each and every Thursday here on Current Sports Radio. We love to give you guys a sneak peek of the night's Current Sports TV chat with whoever the guest is. And tonight is going to be a great one, folks. Got the chance to chat with Julian Gonzalez. He is a now retired sports photographer from the Detroit Free Press. Really an interesting road, you know, how he ended up at the Freep, but did one outstanding job, so much so that upon hearing of his retirement, the Detroit Red Wings decided to honor him during his last game, during the last game that he covered, and it caught him, you know, much by surprise. But he is now retired. He retired in December, and, you know, he told me how, you know, this week – you know, last week was sort of the first full week of his retirement in which it really hit him because, of course, you know, last week was the first full week after the holidays. And it felt kind of odd for him, you know, not going to work. So I started first by talking about the retirement and how he came to that decision. And here's what he had to say.
Well, my last official day was the 18th, but then you go right into the holidays and you're kind of off a lot then anyway, so never set
in. Didn't really feel like it.
Yeah, but the last Monday was the first day that I thought, wow, I don't have anywhere to go. But I've been busy as heck for whatever reason. There's been a lot of little things, I guess, that I've held off doing, but not going to work has been really, really strange.
Before we get to your retirement plans, I got to know, why did you decide to make this move, and how hard was it to come to this decision?
It was very hard in the fact that I loved what I did for so long. But in the last year or two, I think that enthusiasm eroded a little bit because I had back surgery, I had hip surgery, I had a few things, and I started thinking, man, maybe I'm getting too old to be running around like a crazy man half the time. So the opportunity came up to take a buyout basically, and I thought it was the right time because I always said I wanted to walk away happy that what I did. I never wanted to be angry or frustrated about what I was doing, and I was still feeling good about what I was doing, but it was eroding. But that might be because of my age and everything else. So I just thought it was a good time.
Just kind of the natural grind of the job,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, again, that, the way I heard about your story and about what you do was, of course, when I read that article, the Detroit Red Wings deciding to surprise you and in honor your 25 years of service. I'm sure you covered them. And I've seen some of the photos that you've covered, some of the moments, you know, capturing Stanley Cups and the glory days of Hockey Town. How flattering was it when you found out? Because it's kind of cool how you got the news. You didn't even see this coming, did you?
No, that's the thing about it. Apparently, my wife and my daughter included, and my family and my friends, other fellow photographer friends, they all knew about it for a good month before. And you know how secrets kind of leach out? I was completely stunned when this thing happened because I was just shooting there. I think it was the second time out in the game, and all of a sudden, the photographer friend of mine who works for the news was shooting next to me, who never does shoot from that area, but I thought it was kind of strange, but I didn't think anything of it, okay. But then he turns around, starts taking pictures of me during the timeout. You know, you stand up, you're in the Zamboni door, mm-hmm. and he starts taking pictures. I'm like, what the heck is he doing? And then all of a sudden, then I started hearing the music and announcing, and I turned around and I saw somebody, I tell this story all the time, I saw, that looks like my daughter. And then I looked next to her, and it was my wife. And I thought, wait a minute.
Something's going on here.
Yeah, then, you know, you tunnel vision, and then everything. And I saw a bunch of other photographers that were there, including my boss, who's the photo editor, and other people were there. And I thought, what the heck? And then I started hearing them talking about me and mentioning, I heard my name. But I was in complete shock. And, a timeout in a hockey game, a period, you know, during the period is a pretty short time. So right. I was in complete shock the whole time. I was stunned and didn't know it was, I was completely surprised about the whole situation. And I was very moved by it, but I didn't even have the emotional time to show any emotion.
Exactly.
Everybody said, you look like a deer in a headlights, you know.
Because you were.
Yeah.
Now, Julian, where does your photography career begin? When did you start shooting photos for newspapers and publications? When did that start?
Well, the thing goes back to I was at the University of Kansas going to school studying engineering, and I came to the conclusion I was going to be a terrible engineer, and I didn't like it, actually, because I realized it was going to be a lot of office sitting around, you know. And I was going to actually quit school. This is after like 4.5, 5 years. I was always working, too. It wasn't like full time. Mm-hmm. And I went and talked to a counselor, and that person, that woman, counselor, asked me, what are you else you interested in? I said, well, photography, because I was in the service and I had a camera then and I loved photography. And I just blurted it out. And she sent me to a professor, Gary Mason, at the University of Kansas J School. And this man never met me before in my life. And I knocked on his door and said, such and such sent me to you. He said, he invited me in. He had students coming in and out, sat there and talked to me for about an hour.
Wow, an hour.
And then at the end of it, he said, well, what are you waiting for? Why don't you try it? And I did. And then it just took off. And I fell in love with it, right? I was so naive. I never realized you could actually make a living doing that. And then I realized you could. And then it wasn't about minimum making a living. I loved it so much. If I could just, you know, squeeze by, I was going to be happy. And it took off after that.
Now, Julian, you told me that when you first started really producing photos for newspapers, you bounced around a few publications, and you were a general assignment photographer. It just shows you how crazy life can be sometimes. Just kind of an impromptu route to then becoming a full-time sports photographer with the Free Press, right?
But most photographers, I mean, in the business, not all, but most, I'd say a good 98% of them, end up working their way through that sort of scenario.
Right. That's how the media industry is, yeah.
You're learning how to take pictures. You're learning how the equipment works and everything like that. And the newspaper was perfect for that because you learn to make deadlines and everything. You have to have a picture. You can't come back, wow, there was nothing there. You have to have a picture. And it instills in you that idea that you're going to find a picture of whatever assignment you have one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so you learn all those basic things, and then you progress in your learning and education and everything to be able to make pictures. And then the sports thing started happening because I always work nights and weekends,
always covered whatever sports were going on, because most of the time that's when sports are happening, nights and weekends.
Exactly.
And so I really liked doing it. I mean, I like being a newspaper photographer, but I really love going to, covering the sports, especially in a smaller community, because you're doing the high school and the University of Kansas, of course, and you get to know the coaches and people get to know you. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon they kind of, you're just part of that environment. I guess you turn into a part of the family, I guess, is the best terminology I can say.
Now, Julian, can you kind of break down? I know this is difficult because, you could teach a lecture on this, I'm sure. But the art of sports photography, I can imagine it's got to be very difficult to try and capture the winning touchdown or the winning goal in a hockey game, a slam dunk that, changed the momentum of a basketball game. It's got to be so hard to make sure that you're in the right position to capture those moments on a camera. What's your method of going out there and covering an event? And I know it varies depending on the sport.
Yeah, I'll give you a good example. Like when I used to have to go cover high school games, because there's so many teams, you really, as one person, you can't keep track of them. But the writer we had, Mick McCabe, knew about every team. So I'd ask him, what do they do? Oh, they run a lot. They throw a lot. The quarterback's real mobile or things like that. And you put that in your bank to think about what they're going to do. Now, the pro teams or college teams, you pretty much kind of know what's going to – you've watched them enough that you kind of know what they're going to do or who the star players are, mm-hmm. and things right. like that, so you can keep track of them. And whether they throw a lot, whether they run a lot, football, I'm speaking. So you try and keep that in mind as you progress down the field covering the team and everything. Mm-hmm. But then it's fate. Then it's whether you can be in the wrong position. You can be in the right position – and have something like as much as like a referee or somebody run through the frame, and you don't have the picture, and it's not your fault, but
it happens.
But that's it. And the whole thing is you're just trying to capture that piece of second, and if that piece of second doesn't work out, then
wow,
small
margin for error,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's part of it. And as soon as you learn to get over that frustration. And realize, well, you can't do anything about it. Then you just move on. And it's funny how you move on mentally that I lost that one. I'm going to go, I'm going to get back in there.
Yes, folks. Again, that was the voice of Julian Gonzalez, now retired sports photographer for the Detroit Free Press. Got a chance to chat with him. It was a great one. I mean, and after that snippet that you just heard, he starts to break down the art and how to really cover an event like hockey. Where do you stand? I mean, what kind of equipment are you using? What do you have to do during the game? Really compelling stuff, folks. The first sports photographer we've ever had on Current Sports. So don't miss it. Tonight, Current Sports TV with guest Julian Gonzalez on WKRTV at 10:30 p.m. Check it out. Should be a fun one. All right, Throwback Thursday, folks. So what exactly happened on this particular Thursday in sports history? Well, it is January 14th. On this day, back in 1948, and thank goodness this change was made, right? Plastic helmets were prohibited in the NFL. That's really, goodness gracious, I'm glad that changed, right? All right, 1954, Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio, they were married. The marriage only lasted, get this, 9 months. 1973, the Miami Dolphins became the first NFL team to go undefeated in a regular season. They also defeated the Washington Redskins in the Super Bowl in 1997. Dennis Rodman got his 10,000th NBA career point in 2002. Barry Bonds signed a contract with the San Francisco Giants worth $90 million for 5 years. And also the same day of that same year in 2002, Lance Armstrong, he ran the final leg of the Olympic torch relay in San Diego on that same day. This is a busy day in 2002. The NBA announced a 3-game suspension for Shaquille O'Neal of the LA Lakers and a 1-game suspension of Brad Miller of the Chicago Bulls for a fight that occurred during a game. I got to YouTube that one after I get off the air. And also on that same day in 2002, TNT world premiered the TV movie Monday Night Mayhem. And last but not least, in 2003, in Dallas, Dwayne Goodrich of the Dallas Cowboys was charged with 2 counts of manslaughter and was released after posting a $50,000 bond. The charges stem from Goodrich's involvement in a hit-and-run accident that sadly killed two people. All right, folks. Well, that wraps up your current sports throwback Thursday. Thanks so much to all of you guys out there for tuning in and weighing in on today's current sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Same time, same place tomorrow. Take care. Have a great afternoon. And be easy, people.